We present Traitor by Dennis Potter. Adapted for radio by Derek Horinot. Starring Denham Elliott as Harris and Ian Ogilvy as James. With Alan White as Simpson, Don Fellows as Blake, William Fox as Sir Arthur, and Jack May as the Master. Traitor.
Another answering the phone today. Ring, you bastard, ring!
They sang so sweet, they sang so shrill, and faster tears began to flow, and she laid down her silken gown, a golden rings and all her show.
What care I for my... my house. Yeah, that's it. What care I for my house and my land?
What care I for my house and land? What care I for my treasure? Oh, what care I for my new wedded lord? I'm off with the raggle-tangled gypsies.
Where falls not hail or rain, or any snow, nor ever wind blows loudly, but it lies deep meadowed. Adrian, are you all right?
Dada?
Are you all right? You don't want anything.
Oh! Oh!
Deep meadowed. Deep meadow.
No, 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 no. I do not mean it as a metaphor. I mean it as a well... poetic hope, a transcending dream, a possibility. King Arthur's tomb reputedly had the inscription, "Once and future king," carved into the stone. Once and future king, that is quite clear, quite clear. Arthur will again be king, you see. He will come back. At England's hour of need, he will return. He will return. He will return from Avalon.
Would be right at the top.
You betcha.
And the gilded, one might even say baroque lift, never damn well seems to work.
Baroque? Broke. A good pun gives you a lift.
But the lift never works.
It does, but only if you want to visit somebody at the street level. Soviet planning, that is.
Hey! Anybody like to give me a hand with these bloody cameras?
Yeah, I thought not.
Well, it'll be a laugh if the bugger's not there.
So here we are at last, folks.
On Parnassus.
Hey, look out of the window over there. You can see all of little old Moscow spread out for the plundering.
Strip clubs to the left, brothels to the right, Kremlin in the middle.
It's a dump. A filthy, rotten dump.
I should watch your tongue, Clyde. Walls have ears. KGB ears.
Well, are we here, then?
Well, we can't go any higher.
Yes, we're here. Floor 16 is number 5 we want.
That's where our cut-glass patriot has his hidey hole, the rat fink.
Schisnatsatz. Komm not auf Jatz.
Why rehearse that lingo, pal? It's a real British public school voice you want to talk to this bastard.
A real British public school voice I have.
Number 5, you say?
Hope he's got a drink.
Drinky?
What?
Isn't that what you people call it, a drinky?
No, we people don't, actually.
Who cares what you coppers call it, so long as it's booze? Here we are, number 5.
Press the button, for Christ's sake. Let's get inside.
Don't say the blight has done yet another bunk.
Well, you might be asleep.
Or chicken.
This, more like.
Strazitje, tovarishche.
Are you sure comrade is entirely the right word, Mr. Harris?
Oh, certainly.
We are known to be gentlemen, you see. Gentlemen of the press. Bums, in other words.
The Ministry of Internal Affairs has arranged...
Yes, okay. Come in, gentlemen. If that is the curious appellation you even more curiously prefer.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Well, this is home. Gentlemen of the Capitalist Press. Not exactly like the glossy magazines, have you believe?
I suppose, Mr. Harris, that it would be all right to take a few pictures of you and so on.
No! That is, not yet, anyway, and not here, I think. Not between these four walls. But do sit down. Let's all sit down and talk, shall we?
All right. Thank you. May I say how extremely grateful we are for this opportunity of talking to
you. Where did you go to school?
Winchester, actually.
Oh, yeah. Manners maketh man. Good, good. Well, they certainly do if you interpret the phrase correctly.
Perhaps we should begin by identifying ourselves. My name is Blake of the Amalgamated Press Service. This is James of the Combined British Agencies, and the poor sod with the cameras is Thomas, another Englishman.
A bleeding camel, more like.
And this is a Simpson of the Sydney Times. Now you know who we are.
I don't give a damn who you are. You all have the same sort of employers, after all. You could be called Nellie Dean, for all I care. I'm sure that upon reflection you will agree that your particular private claims to individuality are of precious little consequence when your sub-editors get their dirty little paws on what will no doubt be your dirty little copy. Your names don't matter to me. I've not been drinking, and I'm not being offensive.
You could have fooled me, fella. This bottle on the table here is purely for decorative purposes, I take it.
Winchester, you say? The dry wicker mist. No, not decorative. Help yourself. There are a few more thick tumblers in that cupboard over there. Please don't expect me to wait on you.
I'll get them.
Questions, please. Brief and to the point.
Well, here you are in Moscow.
Yes.
Is it all you hoped it would be? Are you happy to be here?
Happy? This is home. Home being defined not where you start from, but where your journey ends. The journey you take inside your head.
Mr. Harris, if you'll forgive me, your duplicity. You journey from Eton and Oxford and the Foreign Office to this sparse little room. Now, can you be sure it was all worthwhile? Are you happy?
Happy? Happy? What on earth has that got to do with it? And what has this room got to do with it? It had fitted carpets and expensive furniture and all that sort of stuff. I suppose you think my duplicity, as you call it, would have been much more worthwhile. I tell you this, if I were to end up in a bare cell without any colour or light at all, I would still have been right, and I would still do what I did all over again.
Mr. Harris, may I ask how long you've been a member of the Communist Party?
You may.
Well, how long is it, Mr. Harris? Have you always been a communist? Have you never had any doubts?
This, gentlemen, is the first of the day. Ha ha. How long? Oh, 30 years or more. A lifetime ago. Yeah. Yeah, a lifetime.
When you were an undergraduate?
Yes.
Oxford. Of course.
Of course. Oxford. Yes.
Last refuge of the lost cause.
Bells across the meadow. Dreaming spires, pumps on the river, and champagne and strawberries and straw hats and narrow little streets full of
traitors. Pardon me.
Well, there were some, but not enough. Well, too much impotent posturing, too much consciousness of trivial intellectual fashion, too little real mind-stretching, mind-scraping, bone-splintering commitment.
Your sort of commitment, is that what you mean? Total commitment to communism, to Moscow?
My communism is still real, still alive. It's not just a function of my memory. It's absorbed disappointment and pain and changes in the intellectual boutique.
Oh, that means rigidity, dogma.
Oh, did you? Big bad words.
Well, to me it does, I mean. You seem to phrase it so.
Look, little liberal, there was a time when poets exploded like a bomb. But now the same word mongers do not even explode like punctured bags of stale air, which is what they are. But I held on. I retained my faith, my belief in man. I hold on as I still here hold on. Well, I had to turn my back on what I'd been taught to love. The sticky coils of home and family, and is the honey still for tea, and crusted pork circulating from the left. And bowls of walnuts on the sideboard, and fat strawberries staining our fingers as you sprawl on the well-cropped, well-rolled, well-watered lawn, and jolly good boating weather, and damp cucumber sandwiches cut in tiny triangles through all the horse dung and sicked up bile of politicians prepared to use troops against coal miners.
Mr. Harris.
Yeah, through all the festering hypocrisies of English ruling families.
Mama, I hate it here. Mama, please take me away from this school. Nobody likes me here. Come and take me away at once.
Families which stick together like all thieves stick together. They treat England as their private park, their private hunting ground. And they are no more aware of filth and poverty and stunted opportunity or the true nature of the lives of most of their fellow citizens than they are of the...
Aren't you ashamed of yourself, Harris? Hmm?
Yes, sir.
Well, you jolly well should be ashamed of yourself.
Yes, sir.
Especially as the son, I believe, only son indeed of the father whom your father is. I have had the pleasure of hearing Sir Arthur speak at a public meeting. Your father speaks simple, clear, precise English as it should be spoken. Simply, clearly, and with precision. He would no more dream of counterfeiting the king's English than he would counterfeiting the coin of the realm. Hazlitt. And none of this humming and hawing and mumbling or stumbling, eh, boy?
No, sir.
How old are you, boy?
10 years, 3 months, 2 weeks, and 4 days, sir.
Very dry, Harris, oh, very dry.
Thank you, sir.
Don't be impertinent.
Sorry.
10 years, 3 months, and whatever else you may be, boy, does not yet give you a license to be a buffoon. But it does demand, on the other hand, that you should by now be capable of adequately articulating your mother tongue.
Sir?
Of speaking properly, boy.
Sir?
So let us hear the verse again. Fret not at all, Harris, but try a little harder. There's the book. From the same place, if you'll be so kind. Oh, come, come, boy. You sound like a coal miner with some dust in his larynx. Get on with it, do.
Farewell, green fields and happy groves where flocks have took delight, where lambs have...
Nibbled. I see. I see, Cole Mackinson.
Sir.
Read it. Harris, sit down. Sit down. And you will please be kind enough to bring the whole verse written out 20 times in impeccable handwriting to my study before morning prayers.
Sir.
Very well, Cole Mackinson, proceed.
Farewell, green fields and happy groves. Their flocks have took delight. Where lambs have nibbled, silent...
One moment, repeat that line, boy.
Sir, where lambs have nibbled, silent...
Silent moves the feet of angels bright. A beautiful line. English poetry at its best. A thought to elevate the soul. Silent moves the feet of angels bright. Where do those feet move? Where lambs have... What do the lambs do, Cole Mackinson?
Nibbled, sir.
Nibbled, yes. Yes, nibbled. You don't sound at all sure about it, boy. It is my misfortune to have a class full of half-wits, nincompoops and drones. Yes, nibbled. What did the lambs do, Cole Mackinson?
Nibbled, sir.
Once more, Cole Mackinson, what did the lambs do?
Nibbled, sir.
Right. Now I am sure we know what Mr. Blake's lambs did, don't we, Harris?
Yes, sir.
So you wouldn't mind telling me now what it was they did, would you, Harris? Ah, come, come. We cannot have forgotten quite so soon, can we? I'm waiting, Harris. Perhaps Harris is persuaded that another expression would be better. What other word would you suggest, Harris? Since you seem to have difficulty with the one which William Blake chose in preference to all others, where lambs have what?
Peed themselves.
What? What did you say?
Mama, I hate it here. I hate it here. Please take me away from this school. Please take me away from this school.
Nonsense, Adrian. I've spoken on the telephone with Matron, who says you are settling in nicely.
Families which stick together like all thieves stick together. They treat England as their private park, their private hunting ground, and are no more aware of the filth and poverty and stunted opportunity or the true nature of the lives of most of their fellow citizens than they are of the landscape on Mars.
Or you were of the true nature of Stalinism.
And what is that? The true nature of Stalinism?
Murder. Mass murder.
Concentration camps. Starvation of whole populations. Torture.
Lies. Deceit. Tyranny.
I was talking about England, as you were well aware.
As a communist.
As communist, yes. An English communist.
Loyal party member.
Yes. In my fashion.
Accepting every twist and turn, every contradiction, just so long as it came from the Kremlin.
That is looking at it from the outside and with gross ignorance.
The same way that you look at England.
England. My father... He was an archaeologist, as you probably know. Spent most of his life digging below the topsoil, looking for some remnants of Camelot. I prefer to spend my time digging below a different sort of topsoil. Not to find some mythical past, but to lay bare the reality of class conflict, to see it for what it is, and thus see the machinery of change, of growth... Of renewal.
Camelot again.
What?
If you lived with dreams, or rather delusions, of Camelot in your childhood, and surely you can see...
But my childhood, what has that to do with it?
In the lost boyhood of Judas, Jesus was betrayed.
Oh, crap.
A quotation, Mr. Harris.
Do you think Solzhenitsyn should be published here in the Soviet Union?
I haven't read his work, I can't say.
Or Trotsky, should he be published?
What about Trotsky, Mr. Harris? Isn't it time they acknowledge his existence here? I mean, the part he played and so on?
I do not propose to discuss this sort of thing with people like you. The fox does not exchange the time of day with the hound. So bay away, my friends.
So, you see yourself as a fox? A hunted animal?
No. A hedgehog. I'm a hedgehog.
And please be sure, Mummy, to send me some chocolates and hard sweets too, because, spelt incorrectly, because I owe some to other chaps in Winterton Dorm. Also some sticky tape, as I want to send back my soldiers in a parcel. I don't like it here. I hate it. Love, Adrian.
Soldiers?
Yes.
What soldiers are those, then?
He doesn't like it at Braddockham, Arthur.
Oh, I know. The Mounted Knights. Why does he call them soldiers?
strange trial. Withdrawn.
When is this damn strike going to end?
I don't know. Soon, I should think.
I want to go down to that dig at Simon's Gate in Somerset. Got a lot of amateurs prodding and poking about there in those Roman earthworks. Trains aren't running yet, are they?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Whole country paralyzed.
Baldwin is very calm. I think he knows how to cope, you know.
Too calm, sucking that damn pipe. No vision. See it in his face. I'd like to take those strikers and show them the dig. Make them realize. And I'm sure it would.
Make them realize what, Arthur?
Show them what lies under their feet. Make them think about richness of tradition and the continuity of dream, of hope, that is just beneath the topsoil of England. Appeal to their finer thoughts.
I think they would rather have another shilling in their pockets, Arthur.
That's the whole trouble. That's what life today has been reduced to. A question of pounds, shillings and pence. Nobody seems to lift up their heads anymore. No pride, no vision, no sense of magic.
No work, either.
Material things, that's all. Hear it on the wireless, read it in the paper. Pounds, shillings and pence. Pounds, shillings and pence. You don't measure a man like that. Dear God, no.
I'll send him some chocolate when the strike is over.
Resurgence. That's what's needed now. Renewal. A sense of vision.
I suppose so.
I took young Adrian down to Tarquin's farm.
Oh, did you? When?
The day before you carted him off to school. Just for an hour or two. A little walk, a little chat.
He doesn't like it there, Arthur. I feel we ought to go down.
Lifted him up and sat him down on that old wall which runs along by the pig pens. Great fat porkers runting about, and a black sow with a splendid litter. Plenty of mud, too, oozing about.
Adrian would like that. He loves animals. Pretends to be a hedgehog.
Funny thing to be.
Curls up in the corner and says he has spikes all over him. Don't touch, he shouts.
Anyway, I took my chance to have a word or two with the boy. Never really been able to, you know, get to him. But I did this time, I think.
He's very withdrawn.
We watched the pigs for a bit. He was swinging his legs against the wall, bright as a button. Look at their skin, Adrian, I said. Look how much like our skin it is.
Yes, it is, really. Very like.
Well, I suppose I came near to doing the heavy, wise old father act. Thing I'd vowed never to do. Doesn't work, anyway.
He wants you to, Arthur. He's fascinated by you. Intrigued.
Really?
He drew a picture of what he thought Camelot looked like. It's a dreamland for him. He listens to you talking about King Arthur and, well, you should talk to him more often. He's very receptive, really.
Remember, I told him. Remember that most people most of the time are like those pigs down there. They runt about, pushing their snouts in the mud, never dreaming there are better things over the big side wall. No conception of anything other than their own bellies. Adrian, I said, I hope you will always realize that the only choice in the end is between being a discontented philosopher or a happy pig. Look at that mud boy. Make up your mind that life is worth more than that. Most of the people you'll meet, I said, will be content with the mud. They will be exactly like those pigs.
Don't bore me with your unspeakably stupid jargon. Keep that kind of sicked-up pap for your readers.
I was only suggesting...
That a man of my class and my sort of education and my kind of privilege could not possibly become a communist out of deep intellectual conviction. When faced with that sort of proposition, you and your sort invariably seek to reduce it to some kind of sickness or psychiatric disturbance or... Look, once and for all, I am what I am, and I did what I did because of what I believe, and not because of some psychosis or neurosis or shadow that still haunts me from the cradle or the cricket pavilion or whatever else. I mean, understand?
I'm so sorry. Stupid of me to make such an elementary blunder as to presume that there might be occasions when the child is father to the man.
Millions of children in the biggest part of the world, Mr. James, never even get the chance to grow up. They starve. So don't go quoting bloody Wordsworth to me.
Personal experience. He's talking about personal experience.
I know what he's talking about.
You never had such experiences. Poverty or starvation or concentration camp.
No, not at all. I went from prep school to Eton, and from Eton to Oxford, and from Oxford to the Brigade of Guards to the Foreign Office, all the way from a nursery with a wooden rocking horse to a nursery with a wooden rocking horse. Giddy up, giddy up.
But you've let go of nurse, Mr. Harris. Have you found anything better?
What?
And always keep a hold of nurse for fear of finding something worse.
Literate, aren't you?
Fairly.
Well, congratulations. But it must be one hell of a problem for you when you cable your stories, stuff for the tabloids from illiterate wickamies.
That's right.
A few sordid little paragraphs with a nasty big headache, right? Paste it up between the tit and the thigh. Free press, right? Tit and thigh and illiterate wickamies.
It's a living. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not responsible for the tit and thigh, as you put it.
What are you doing?
He's taking a photograph.
I said no. No! 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 No!
If thou shouldst never see my face again, pray for my soul. More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. Wherefore, let thy voice rise like a fountain for me night and day. Adrian? Adrian, are you all right?
Dada?
Shh, shh. This is what King Arthur says. Listen, boy, listen to this. You'll be asleep soon. Close your eyes, Adrian. Close your eyes, my little lad. You'll soon be better when the fever goes down. But now, farewell. I am going a long way with these thou seest, if indeed I go, for all my mind is clouded with doubt, to the island valley of Avalon. Adrian! Adrian!
Give me that film.
Look here.
Give it to me.
Oh, Mr. Harris, have a bleeding heart. I humped all this equipment up 16 floors.
I want that film, if you would be so kind.
The lift doesn't work.
He was told he could bring his camera.
Got my permit, honestly.
It has nothing to do with me.
If he hadn't been given to understand...
Give...
Bloody hell. Bloody hell.
Oh, come on. Give him a break.
I made it quite clear that I didn't want you to take a photograph. Not here. Not in this place.
You make it seem you're ashamed of it.
Soviet Minister of Internal Affairs gave me written permission to bring the cameras, and I thought it'd be
shamed?
All right.
That's for you to say, comrade.
I think I completely share only one of the really strong emotions which is peculiar to the English upper class, Mr. Blake. And that is the firm and easily attestable conviction that the Americans as a people are irredeemably vulgar.
Soviet Minister of Internal Affairs said it was all right.
All right, keep the bloody picture. Call it Paradise Lost, or A Man Comes Home, or even what a tangled web he wove.
Knowing the average Pix editor, it'll be far more to the point than that.
The Stag at Bay, you mean? Landseer up to date.
Oh, no. Now, I'll lay odds that the caption will be The Traitor. Just The Traitor.
Traitor? To my class, yes. To my country, no. Not to England, no. Not to England.
Hardly socialist realism, is it? Not exactly a Marxist-Leninist concept of the relationships between man and his environment.
You mean that picture? The landscape hanging above the fireplace?
Shouldn't you turn it to the wall?
I love England. Yes, of course I do. There's no need to look so affronted. That painting represents to me one image of my motherland, an image that will always haunt me, like the paintings of Turner or Constable or a few lines of Keats. The England of the watermill, the cricket field, gentle faces, lemonade in the haystacks, rooks coagulating on the tall bare trees like premature blobs of night. I always stutter when getting pretentious. But there is another England, you know. And you can paint it in sweat and mud and tears and slime.
You brought that painting with you?
Yes, that and a few books. Well, I had time to gather together when I knew the game was up.
Very appropriate.
Huh?
The picture. It bears no more relationship to the England of the 1970s than your particular political philosophy does.
Oh, did I?
And now you're trapped. All those dreams and hopes of a better world reduced to this uncomfortable block in an uncomfortable city in the biggest and most soul-destroying bureaucracy the world has ever seen. I mean, the basic freedoms any really civilized people take for granted simply do not exist in this country. You can't even read Lenin uncensored.
Not so. Not true.
How do you begin to explain the fact
I will explain nothing to you. Nothing at all.
Ah, I see.
Oh, no, you don't. And you never will, buddy. Oh, buddy boy. You're ranting around like a porker trying to find some little acorn of understanding, some tiny glimmer of a clue to make comprehensible to the pap. Fed mothers of America, the sad, sad tale of a real gentleman gone to the rest.
If you'll excuse me, I think it's quite legitimate to make comprehensible...
You're wasting your time. You might as well seek to explain to them the odd fact that poor Asian peasants are not unduly fond of being bombed by rich white Americans with hamburgers in their bellies, pot in their nostrils, and comic books in their heads.
Ah, isn't Czechoslovakia the same? I happen to agree with you about Vietnam. Do you agree with me about Czechoslovakia?
That is a very different situation. A much more complex.
Soviet troops rolled over the border and put down the Czechoslovak people. Did you agree with that?
And as I said, it was a tragic and complex, and a very, very complex affair.
You are being evasive.
He daren't be anything else.
Too damned evasive for your crude man-trap.
Years of double-dealing, right?
What?
Walking every morning down Whitehall with your rolled newspaper and rolled umbrella. And all the while passing on information to the Soviet Union. Valuable information.
No point in passing on worthless information, is there? I simply help the socialist nations ward off the very real threat of nuclear attack.
Yes, that would be how you see it, of course. But in all that time, Adrian Harris, in all those years, did you never suffer a single twinge of doubt? Or a single spasm of conscience about the Western agents who must have been murdered as a result of the information you passed on to Russia?
Conscience. You use that word, a lucky like you.
Yes. Yes, I do.
Conscience? God, what a phony and adulterated concept you make it sound. It comes off your tongue like a peppermint with a hole in the middle. I've not got that sort of conscience, the drivelling, snivelling kind you mean. I've done nothing which the objective situation did not specifically warrant. The murder of any one man is by definition horrible and dehumanising. Wasn't it Auden who talked of the necessary murder? The murder of tens or even hundreds of millions is what I was seeking to prevent with conscience. Now, you talk of conscience.
Hey, you there. Stop.
British Embassy.
Hold it. Just a minute. You can't go in there.
Let me in. Please. Please. They're after me. Please.
Who do you want to see?
Anyone. Anyone. Hey, look. Let me through.
Hey! Hey, wait! Wait!
You do realize what time it is, don't you?
British Embassy.
You're in the grounds of the British Embassy, yes. I'm the duty clerk.
English not good. Not good.
It's nearly 2:30 in the morning.
Please, urgent. Much urgent.
Sunday morning. Oh, look here. Can't it wait?
See, Ambassador. Urgent.
You're fast asleep by now. Why not call on Monday morning? You aren't British, no.
Yuri Mikhailov.
Russian. You're Russian?
Yes, yes. From MMD, Foreign Office. Durak.
What?
Durak. Fool! They would kill me!
No, no, let's try to remain Russian. What do you... I mean, it's 2:30 a.m. I mean, where are you from? What are you doing in Helsinki?
The pact... Sovietskovy Finnish agreement.
This is the British Embassy in Finland.
Oh, please.
Oh, I think you'd better come in, old chap. The cup of tea would seem the first step.
Adrian, are you all right?
What is it? What's the matter with you, Adrian?
He's come back. Mummy.
Who has?
King Arthur.
Great sight, isn't it?
What's that?
Trooping the colour, old boy. Down there.
Oh, yes, yes.
Still shows what we can do, eh? Well, Adrian, quite a lark,
what?
Helsinki. Apparently the duty clerk nearly sent him away.
Oh, he'll go far, that man.
My God, Adrian. Talk about pennies from heaven.
Rubles, at any rate.
Well, the minister is cock-a-hoop.
Why on earth did you tell that old fool without asking me?
Well, look here, Adrian. He had to be told. We can't play hush-hush with our own masters, you know?
Had to be? Well, I mean, the less politicians know about this sort of stuff, the better, incompetent morons. They still think of espionage as the 39 steps.
He thinks there is every chance that the Russians are worried enough to try to liquidate him as soon as he steps outside the embassy building. So Mikhailov has to be interrogated in the embassy. Immediately. Can't move the chap. It makes sense, Adrian.
Yeah, yeah.
And Mikhailov insists that he has the names of three Russian agents in our security service. Wait, a bit of a bombshell, what?
Yeah. Look, I don't think he should be questioned in the British Embassy.
But why?
Well, I should have thought it was obvious, Charles. Look, we can't have this Mikhailov chap chattering away to wide-eyed typists or bored window cleaners or whoever else may be frittering away his time in the embassy corridors. It's the last place I would want anyone to talk about anything. I mean, it'd be almost as good as sending it to the Kremlin in a registered envelope.
But, Adrian, the minister insists.
You know, Finland is the exact geographical equivalent to the village grocery shop. It's all gossip, all trading, lots of stuff under the counter. Directly bordering the Soviet Union, yet not committed to any Western alliance. It's a real gossip shop.
Mikhailov is a very big fish. He's got his teeth in three even bigger fish.
Well, let's get him out of such a smelly little pond. I mean, he's too vulnerable there.
The minister is adamant, I'm afraid. Mikhailov must be interrogated immediately. The sooner we know the names of the three spies he's talking about, the better. We might even know the buggers.
Well, everything can wait. Yeah. But my lunch can't.
Ah. Where are you eating?
Oh, Soho, I think.
Shall I join you?
Do, yes. Please do. Look, I'll tell you what. I'll scoot on out to Helsinki myself.
You? Oh, you must be joking, Adrian. Lazy dog like you.
No, triple to be good. If this fellow really has got the names of three colleagues of ours who are working for the Russians, then I don't want him spilling that sort of stuff to anyone else but, me.
Da.
Mikhailov leaves the embassy at 14:30 hours local time. One car only. Two armed guards with him. Car passes along Prospect Street, Nurmi Street, Barrack Street, and arrives at the Square of the Lakes approximately 14:40.
Понимаю.
Goodbye.
It won't be long now, Mikhailov. Driver, watch that lorry. Watch that lorry! He's heading straight for us! My God, look out! Mikhailov!
Don't leave the car! Don't leave the car! Get down, man! Get down!
Bloody fool!
Conscience! Let's talk about the soul, or about bodily assumption, or angels, or parliamentary democracy. Jesus Christ! Conscience!
What about Mikhailov?
Well, what about him?
Weren't you in Helsinki when he was murdered?
Murdered?
Shot down in the street in cold blood.
Oh, yes, I was reprimanded over that. The minister said I was a naughty boy. Had to work a Whitsun weekend.
Oh, dear God. What were you saying just now about conscience?
Clearly nothing that you could even begin to grasp.
No, sir, that's right.
And I think you've all had long enough to put your more relevant questions. And I'm a little tired. Busy day at the office. I'm tired. I'm very tired. Very, very, very tired. No need. Pretend anymore.
There is no... Avalon.
Have another drinky, buddy boy. There's one left in the bottle.
Don't be vague. Ask for the plague. Miserable sod. Farewell, green fields and happy groves, where flocks have took delight, where lambs have gone.
Nibbled, isn't it? William Blake, I believe.
Literate, aren't you? Literate. Would you be kind enough to repeat the verb?
I beg your pardon.
Say the word again.
Nibbled.
And you, Simpson, whatever your name is, you say it too.
Nibbled.
And you.
If you like.
I do like.
Nibbled.
And the word, Mr. Blake. Give me the word.
Murder.
No, no. The word. Nibbled.
Look, will someone mind telling me what the hell we're supposed to be talking about?
Boyhood of Judas. Death. The death of the king. You, Thomas, you're here to take the pictures. That makes sense. Look at the cupboard, old chap. See if there's another bottle of the spirit that warms.
Yes, but it's not scotch.
No.
Vodka, I think. Funny Russian letters on it.
Yuck. well, more a wee droppy. A wee drop under it. I'll fill this up. Oh, yeah, I did it. Just fill this up. I belong to Glasgow.
Not for me, I've had enough.
I belong to Glasgow, dear old Glasgow, and the seven of are in Glasgow, for it's going down and down.
Round and round.
Down and down. There really is, something the matter with Glasgow, and the whole of it, all of it, all of it. It was a... There I go again. An awful shock. When I first saw...
What did you see?
The bottom of the glass.
What a witty man you are. What a witty man.
Witty and sober.
An awful shock when I saw... When for the first time I saw...
What did you see?
I saw... What people lived like.
That was Traitor by Dennis Potter, starring Denham Elliott as Harris and Ian Ogilvy as James, with Alan White as Simpson, Don Fellows as Blake, William Fox as Sir Arthur, and Jack May as the Master. Also taking part were Jane Thompson as Lady Emma Harris, Matthew Ryan as Adrian, and Gregory de Polnay as Thomas. Others taking part were Gene Rogers, Martin Friend, John Church, Danny Schiller, and David Griffin. The sound balance was by Graham Harper. Traitor was adapted and directed by Derek Hodinott.